This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. Hey folks, host Matthew here, and we're doing a live show in Portland, Oregon on May 18th, and we are joined by Look Inside This Book Club, which is also a show hosted by me, I will warn you. We're at the Funhouse Lounge in Southeast Portland, and you can get tickets right now by going to bit.ly/milkpdx. That's bit.ly/milkpdx. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Whether you need a portfolio to showcase your work, a store to sell your products or services, or a blog, ding ding, to share your ideas, Squarespace gives you everything you need to make your next move into a reality.
What if I wanted to do all three of those things on the same website?
Squarespace will allow you to do it, and they'll give you a free domain while you're at it.
Nice. So to start your free trial, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SPILLED to get 10% off your first purchase, plus that free domain name with the purchase of an annual plan.
That's squarespace.com, offer code SPILLED.
I'm Molly, and Matthew's chewing, and this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and Matthew keeps chewing.
But this isn't fair. I've been entrapped because you were chewing. You ate all of yours and then started the show knowing that
I know. I like pounded my food.
This is classic entrapment. I am Catherine Zeta-Jones, and I'm trapped in some lasers. You know that?
No.
I haven't seen the movie. I just remember the trailer that there were lasers.
Okay, cool. Well, this episode is about bolognese, also known as bolognese, also known as bolognese.
Also known as spaggy bowl.
I thought that was just spag bowl.
I think it's both.
I recently did a food swap at the pantry where you go and spend like 4 hours cooking like five dishes with a whole bunch of other people, and then you get to take home all that food at the end.
Wow.
It's really cool. But anyway, we made a pork and fennel bolognese, and the woman who was leading the class kept referring to it as bolo. And I was like, I don't think I'm down with that.
But then you said it when you came over.
Well, I know, because I was just trying it out, you know?
Sure,
but,
yeah.
But a bolo is a Thai, people. It's not a sauce.
Okay. Way to take a stand, I guess.
Anyway, what do you call it?
Is a bolo Thai the one that has, like, strings?
Yeah, strings, okay. And like a little like thing in the middle.
Western thing?
Yeah, like a Southwestern thing. Yeah.
What do I call it? I call it bolognese.
Yeah, I think I call it bolognese too.
Because I'm super Italian, I guess.
Yeah, me too. Can you tell? Bolognese.
I can tell.
Whenever I try to say anything in Spanish, it comes out like with a weird like Italian-American accent.
Whenever I try to say anything, I'm standing
like,
outside your window.
Buenos dias.
With a boombox blasting Peter Gabriel. And I'm saying, buenos dias. Okay, wait. Say Ioni Sky with your Italian-Spanish accent.
Ioni Sky. Oh,
all right, I'll go out with you. Or whatever.
Because she's the cheese and I'm the macaroni. So why all the fuss? Why all the fight? Because
I don't remember the rest. Oh.
Listen to the shit. Because both of them is bony. gotta do it like this, like Chachi Choni or something, because she's the cheese and I'm the macaroni.
I think all of the surviving Beastie Boys listen to this show and they're very upset right now.
They are. Okay, great. All right, let's get on with it.
I got a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer.
Oh, that funky monkey.
So clearly I'm chewing. I have a little bit of sauce in my throat that I'm going to cough up any minute now.
Cool. Just don't cough it on me, okay?
I've done that before, right?
You have. It was disgusting. Okay. It says here on the agenda that you wanted to mention something about the Oklahoma State meal. I thought that was my job to talk about the Oklahoma State meal in general.
All right. Let's hear it.
I don't know what you were going to say.
Okay. I'm glad you brought this up, Molly. As you know, a few weeks ago, we did a live show at Mohai in Seattle in which, for reasons I don't remember, Molly was talking about the Oklahoma State meal. Do you remember what you said about it? What you remember being part of the Oklahoma State meal?
Well, the Oklahoma State meal involves, I think it involves corn. It involves chicken fried steak. And gravy. I think it may also have mashed potatoes, maybe.
Okay. So I looked, actually, my wife, Lori, wife of the show, looked this up afterwards. And it's so much more than you can possibly imagine.
It's a lot of food. As I recall, there are two different types of meat, right? Two different, like, proteins.
I'm reading from the Oklahoma Historical Society, Collect, Preserve, Share.
Oh, I know why it was. I was talking about the scissortail flycatcher.
Which is still funny.
Which is the Oklahoma State bird.
Right, which is not part of the meal, but probably when you make the meal, it just swoops in symbolically.
Yes. Go on.
I inhaled sauce. This is going to be bad.
This is going to be so bad.
Oklahoma's official state meal became one of the state emblems by virtue of House Concurrent Resolution 1083, approved in 1988 by the 41st Legislature. Were you in Oklahoma City still in 1988?
I was.
Okay, do you remember this?
I was 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember this.
Here's the meal. Barbecued pork, chicken fried steak, sausage with biscuits and gravy, okra, squash, grits, corn, black-eyed peas, cornbread, strawberries, and pecan pie.
Oh, I thought pecan pie was a part of it. That is not a meal.
No,
that is,
that's a buffet.
That's a buffet.
Do you think the Oklahoma State meal is the leading cause of death in the state of Oklahoma?
I'm pretty okay. sure it is.
Man, swallow, scissor-tailed fly
scissor-tail
swallower?
Scissor-tail flycatcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really all I've got about the Oklahoma State meal. I was just so impressed at the bulk.
Yeah, them's my people.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about bolognese sauce?
Let's do. Let's go down memory lane.
I don't think I ate this as a kid.
I definitely did not eat this as a kid. And I think I really first came to understand bolognese through... through eating it at Spinace.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, they call it ragu.
It's ragu bolognese.
Because ragu just means sauce, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, they just call it ragu. That was the first time that I really had it, and that I really understood it as a sauce of basically like tiny nubs of meat coating pasta, not a tomato sauce.
Yeah, I was surprised when I ordered it there and it wasn't ragu thick and hearty from a jar.
Yeah, me too.
But it was. It is thick and hearty. You have to admit.
It's so delicious. It's got a livery quality to it there. It's very subtle.
Mm-hmm. And chicken livers are a common ingredient. I did not use them today, but I have made it with chicken livers before.
There's like a almost kind of dry quality to ragu compared to a tomato sauce with meat.
Yeah, it's not like a super saucy sauce. It's made to cling to the pasta like a child clings to its parent.
Really?
I'm a professional writer.
I was thinking it was sort of more like the way...
Like a little bug clings to a reed, right?
No, I was thinking of it more like the way when you, like, put your arm in, like, potting soil.
What?
Potting soil. I don't know. There's like a dry, but no, that's not right.
Your whole arm?
I do it
Why
all.
Did you do that? Is this some sort of
Have you ever gotten a
treatment?
Splinter from potting soil?
I've never, I don't think I've ever touched potting soil. Do I look like a plant person?
Anyway, okay. But yeah, there's a dryness to it that I found surprising. It's not dry, but it's not wet. There must be a word for this.
Oh, like semi-dry?
This is like my use of double negatives. I'm learning so much from the current administration in the White House. Anyway.
Can you confirm or deny that you had contact with potting soil?
I can neither confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. That I've had contact with potting soil.
I've probably touched potting soil. I know I've touched that florist's foam, you know, the stuff you put your thumb in and it doesn't spring back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I kind of love touching that.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably if you go into a florist shop and you just ask for foam, they think you're weird. So.
Have you ever put your whole arm in some bolognese?
No,
and
but...
And how did it cling to your arm? Did it cling to your arm the way a child clings to its parent? The way a bug clings to a leaf.
To a reed.
I know what it's like. It's like one of those tree frogs.
Oh, yes.
Wrapping its weird little fingers around a twig.
But not one of the poisonous frogs. One of the delicious frogs.
Oh, yeah. Tree frogs. Everybody eats tree frogs.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't eat tree frogs.
Wait, do people eat tree frogs?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe. That's cool.
So, I mean, yeah, if that's your thing, you know, we're not going to yuck your yum. Is that what you said once?
No, I think you said that.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like something you would say.
Okay.
Anyway, bolognese is a northern Italian meat sauce, as opposed to southern Italian.
Yeah.
and comes from the town called Bologna, I would assume.
Are there any meat sauces that are not northern but not southern? Yes, it comes from the town of Bologna.
Okay. God, I've always wanted to go to Bologna.
I know.
And, is Bologna in the Piedmont region? Or is the Piedmont region
near there? Emilia-Romagna.
Oh, okay. I've always wanted to go to that area. The food is just supposed to be so good there.
Oh, God. Lynn Rosetta Casper would be so proud of us for getting that
really,
right.
She really would.
I think, what's the city in Piedmont? Is it Milan? Let's not go down this road. Nothing good can
is
come
Turin
of this. It's possible.
In Piedmont?
It's definitely possible because that is in Italy.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so does bolognese typically have meat? I mean, does it have tomato? It seems like it
usually has a little tomato, and it could be tomato paste. It can be a little like I used whole canned tomatoes that I pureed.
Okay. Okay, but it's much less than like a meat sauce with
or
a tomato
less.
Sauce with meat in it.
Yeah, because I used like one can of tomatoes for a big old pot of sauce.
One small can or one like 28
ounce? One 28 ounce can.
Okay, that's still not.
You
a
can
ton.
Definitely get away with less.
Yeah. So, and is there a typical type of pasta that it is served with?
Yes. Tagliatelle. Which is
that what we had today?
No, we had fettuccine today.
Oh, that's the wide noodles.
It's not. Pappardelle is the wide noodles. Tagliatelle is a little thinner than fettuccine.
I resign.
It's not spaghetti and it's not fettuccine. It's somewhere in the middle there.
How does it compare to linguine?
Oh, it's a little wider than linguine, I think.
So it goes like spaghetti, which is...
Well, start with vermicelli.
Okay, vermicelli.
Uh-huh. Spaghetti.
Is
thin spaghetti?
Is cappellini the same as vermicelli?
I don't know.
But anyway, well, and then there's like tagliarini, which
think,
is the Piedmontese thin, eggy pasta.
I think probably we would have been better off if I just kept coughing through this whole episode rather than saying false things about Italian food.
I think you're right. Okay, let's get away from pasta, which we don't know enough about, and into bolognese,
Some
which we also don't
like
know enough about.
Tube-shaped, like a bucatini.
Isn't that called like a guitar string or something?
That's pasta alla chitarra.
Oh.
Like the kind that's kind of square in cross section.
Oh, it's I don't know if I know that kind.
Because it's cut on like a thing that looks like a guitar that's got a bunch of strings.
That's cool.
that you smush the sheet of pasta through and it turns into noodles.
Cool.
Yeah, I know a little bit about some things is about the best you're going to get out of me.
Cool. Today's episode of Spilled Milk is brought to you by Squarespace.
Now, you've probably heard of Squarespace. I've heard of Squarespace. I built a Squarespace website for myself, and it looks good.
It's called MatthewJumpHorse.com, right?
That's right.
Throwback to an old ad.
Yeah, a callback to a previous ad. That's a thing we're doing now? Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my imaginary website where I learned to show jump horses, a thing that I think Molly actually did.
Yep.
But if I wanted to make that website, it would be just as easy as the website I did make, which took me a couple of hours to make a full-featured website with like a page for each of my books, which I've written too many of, you know, an about the author page.
Stop it already. God. I
added a contact form to my website and an events calendar. Each of those things took like a minute.
Hey, how can people find this website?
Well, I mean, they can find my website at MatthewAmsterburton.com, but more to the point, they can find Squarespace's website at Squarespace.com and use the offer code SPILLED to get 10% off their first purchase.
Hey, and if you purchase an annual plan, you get a free domain.
So that's squarespace.com, offer code SPILLED, S-P-I-L-L-E-D.
So tell me about the recipe you made today, because I've made two different bolognese's.
Let's hear it.
I have made Louisa Weiss's from her book, My Berlin Kitchen. It was delicious, but it just didn't quite, like, there was just something that I was still looking for.
Yeah.
So then I made Marcella Hazan's from the Essentials
of song?
Classic Italian Cooking. And I didn't feel strongly about Marcella Hazan's either. In fact, I think I liked Louisa Weiss's better. But both of them, I now realize, were much more tomato-y than the one you made here today. And the one you made today, I think, is the best bolognese I've had outside a restaurant.
And I got to say, this is the best one I've made, and I stole things from two different recipes and kind of combined some techniques.
Okay.
So should we walk through it?
Let's walk through it.
Okay, so
Can I take my shoes off and walk through it?
You can take your shoes off and walk through the coals.
Can I put my arms in it?
Yes, you can put one arm. We're playing Bolognese Twister now, it sounds like. put your arm on the red tomato. And
then there's a whole bunch of brown meat.
Oh, there's some green celery in it.
Oh,
a little bit of that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so left leg green.
Okay.
Right foot. What body parts do they have in
Would
Twister?
Would you just tell me about the bolognese?
I will tell you about it if you promise we can get back to Twister in a minute, because I feel like I have some more questions about Twister.
Okay, fine.
Okay. The recipes I started from were the one from Cooks Illustrated maybe like 15 years ago. And Kenji Lopez Alt's from Serious Eats, which I think is also in his book, The Food Lab, from a couple years ago. And I went in intending to make Kenji's recipe, which I've made before and is great. But then I started making the ingredient, like the shopping list for it. And once I got to like ingredient number 15, I'm like, I just can't handle this today. Mm-hmm. Because it is so packed with flavor, it's almost embarrassing. There's, you know, it's got ground pork, beef, and lamb. It's got pureed chicken livers. It's got all kinds of umami sources. It's way over the top. And it's great. And I've made it. And the recipe makes a large amount. I recommend it.
Is it better than the one we had today?
I don't think it is.
Because the one we had today was awesome.
This is the one I will be making from here on out for sure.
So tell me. More.
So the Cook's Illustrated recipe is much simpler. It's just got, I mean, the whole thing I think is less than 10 ingredients. It's got mirepoix. It's got, is that like a word that we shouldn't be using on the show? I felt bad when I said it.
I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty, like, it's a...
I mean, I got to say, this is a comedy show, and I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts, and I do hear the word mirepoix coming up more often than not.
Yeah, then let's keep using it.
I mean,
so it has carrots in it as well.
On Improv for Humans, they're always doing improvs off the word mirepoix suggested on Twitter. It's got
carrot, onion, celery.
Minced carrot, onion, and celery. It's got pork, beef, and veal.
Okay.
It's got milk, which milk is a key ingredient in bolognese. White wine. You can also use red wine. It doesn't really make that much difference.
Mm-hmm.
And a small amount of canned tomato.
Wow. And yet, so all of those ingredients also appear, for instance, in the Louisa Weiss recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she uses much more tomato. I think she uses red wine, maybe. And I guess hers also doesn't cook as long as yours. She said minimum 3 hours, a little better 5 hours, ideally, I think, like 7 hours.
Mine cooks much less than that.
Really? How long does yours cook?
It went for like 3.5 hours. I mean, that's not
less maybe than exact. Maybe Louisa didn't say 7 hours. Maybe she said 5 hours.
3 days.
Maybe she said 3 weeks.
When did she post this recipe? Because is it possible it's still cooking? Is this one of those one of those legendary apocryphal foods that, like, you know, we've been having it on the burner on the back of the stove for 50 years?
She said minimum 3 hours, ideally 5 hours. Okay. I think that's what she said. But it really doesn't get this deep, like, sort of impossible to put one's finger on meat flavor that yours gets.
Let's go through what I did differently, like combining the two recipes. Okay. So I started with the very simple cook's recipe, and I added pancetta because I figured that can't be bad. So I started a little rendered fat from a little pancetta.
Okay.
And before adding, oh, butter goes in also.
Did you keep the pancetta in there, or did you just get the fat from it?
I threw it back in at some point.
Okay.
I took it out before I sauteed the vegetables. In the cook's recipe, which I followed, you put the milk in and boil it down to basically nothing, and then you do the same with the wine before adding the tomatoes.
Okay.
Let's see, what else did I do differently? I baked it in the oven uncovered, so it gets like a little browning on top, and you stir it when you stir it occasionally,
so
the meat gets a little more browned.
Did you get that idea from Kenji?
I did get that idea from Kenji. That's okay. One of his key innovations. And that's really it. I added a little MSG because why not?
Yeah.
Kenji uses fish sauce.
Okay.
That's really basically it. It's very simple. Oh, and I used half pork, half beef. I did not use veal.
Oh, will you write this up on the old website?
I put in some gelatin, which Kenji also does.
Okay. And did you like bloom it or whatever in water first? You do have to do that.
Yeah, I bloomed it on top of the milk.
Okay.
Before I put the milk in.
Okay.
Which is, it's kind of cool. You sprinkle this powder on, and like it looks like nothing's happening, but then it starts to seep in. It's gross, but it's
and then
but
you
it's
get
great.
Like meat. Milk jelly.
Then you get milk jelly. Yeah,
it's so gross.
Yeah, if I had just refrigerated the milk, it would have turned into milk jelly.
That's so gross.
I don't know. I think it sounds kind
of
good.
It's kind of my worst nightmare. Anyway, okay. Will you put this recipe? Will you like quantify these things?
I will quantify these things.
Put it on the old website.
Yeah, and it makes a bunch. So I made lasagna with it last night. I made pasta with it for lunch today, and there's still plenty left.
Your lasagna tastes so legit. It's like so. It's so much less. It's not tomato-y. It's got this incredible dark, deep meat flavor.
Yeah, well, that's why the recipe is called Legit Lajanla. Never mind.
Legit Lajanla.
Lajanya. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to name my next dog.
Lajanya? It does sound like a good name for a dog.
In homage to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I love you, Lajanya. You are just the most beautiful dog I've ever seen. This is my impression of Molly. Pretty good, right?
I was telling Matthew before we started recording today about, like, I was realizing today, like, how... No.
Yes.
Not again.
Hey, listeners, I'm host Matthew here. I don't know what's happening to Molly. I'm not sure if she's going to start crying again. I don't know what she's laughing at.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm crying. Oh, God. I just have an excess of emotion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like an excess of like head fluids.
Oh, I don't even know what I was going to say.
Something about how you love your dog. I think that's what prompted this emotional outburst. And I can understand that.
I mean, look at this dog.
Because, I mean, oh, wait, there's a dog next to me. My cat's pretty good, too. I mean, she's very affectionate in that sometimes she'll, like, stay on my lap for upwards of 45 seconds before trying to bite me.
Okay, I don't know what's going on with me.
Well, I mean, it's like when I was coughing earlier, only with your eyes. Did you get meat in your eye?
I guess so.
Okay.
Okay. So, whew. Okay.
Okay. So, and in England, they have like spag bowl or spaghetti bolognese,
uh-huh.
Which I think is more of like a meat, a tomato sauce
with meat. Yeah. Okay.
And which is certainly good. I mean, I would never turn down a tomato sauce with meat, right?
I'm going to stop crying during this show. I really don't know what emotion I'm feeling right now, but I'm just trying to get it out.
Okay. Yeah, let it out. I think we're going to cut this out this time.
Okay.
Take your time.
So I don't really have anything else to say about bolognese.
I don't think I really do either, except like if you like a meaty sauce and you haven't made it, go make it.
Yeah, seriously. How much did this make? Was it like... So you said it was enough to do lasagna and
like
then also pasta.
Like a full Pyrex pan of lasagna. We had some on pasta, and there's enough left for like at least another whole meal for my family, probably more than that.
That is wonderful.
It's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
One more thing I forgot to say. Well, I really like combined a lot of things from these two recipes, because the other thing is at the end, I like emulsify some of the fat back in by putting in a little bit of cream and Parmesan cheese into the sauce.
Oh, so the fat had floated free.
Yeah, the fat kind of floats to the top, which is it's not unpleasant to eat, but it clings to the pasta more if you emulsify the fat in.
Ah, okay. And so you did that by adding a little bit more fat?
Yeah, a little cream and cheese, which both probably have some kind of natural emulsifier in them.
Gosh, that didn't occur to me.
It didn't occur to me either. It's from the kenji recipe.
Oh, that's really, really interesting.
You stir a little kenji in there.
God, sometimes I actually learn things from this show. It's weird.
Yes, but usually they're things that we stole from Cooks Illustrated or Kenji Lopez All.
Yes, that's true.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
true.
Sometimes we learn things from listeners.
Sometimes we do.
Can you think of any examples? I can't. I mean, we learn a lot when we receive a box of things we've never tasted before.
That's cool.
Which happens
sometimes. We do learn a lot.
You can learn a lot from a box.
Okay.
Depending what's in the box.
Great.
You probably can't learn a lot from an empty box, but maybe.
Okay.
Because that's where imagination lives.
So you wanted to talk about an app.
You want us to get to finish the show as soon as possible.
Yes.
We are now on the Laughable app, which I didn't know about until recently, and is an app that is purely devoted to comedy podcasts.
And we're on it?
Yeah, we're on
it. We're like a real comedy podcast?
Yes,
like other people consider us to be a comedy podcast. It's not just us?
Yes, the guy who made the Laughable app.
Oh my gosh, thanks guy who made the Laughable app.
So what this app does is it's a podcast searching and listening app that is exclusively devoted to comedy shows. And, you know, what makes that any better than using the Apple Podcasts app or whatever? The answer is you can search for your favorite podcast host or guest and see like every show that they've been on, including their own show. So like we were recently on One Bad Mother. So like if you search for us, you'll find our show, but you'll also find us on guesting on One Bad Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have like a favorite comedian who appears on a bunch of shows, now you can find like all of the episodes they've appeared on and binge that comedian. I really am really enjoying it.
Wow, that's so cool.
So it's on the App Store. It's called Laughable.
Cool.
That's all there is to it.
Hot tip.
You can find us online also at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we will post my hybrid bolognese recipe stolen from two of my favorite sources.
I can't wait.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. You can correct all of the things that we got wrong about Italy.
Yes, perfect. Perfect. Would you tell us where Turin or Torino actually is?
If only there was some other way to find this information.
And also, hey, I would love to know, does your home state have a particularly great state meal?
Oh, I was going to ask
let
that.
Let us know.
Do we even know? Washington doesn't have a state meal.
It doesn't?
No.
Really? Are you sure?
I'm pretty... Well, now that you say that, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think every state does.
I think our listeners does, can think, let us know
oh,
about
for sure.
This.
Our listeners are very proud...
Of their state meals.
Of their state meals.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of I think every state has a state bird.
Yeah.
Not all of them can be as flashy and fun to say as the Oklahoma state bird.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is probably like some sort of...
Ours is, I think, the bald eagle.
The Washington state is the bald eagle? That's possible.
I thought so. I know our state flower is the rhododendron.
Okay. I was going to say some kind of warbler, but I don't... even know if that's a bird that lives here.
I don't know. We'll find out. I'm going to Google it after this show is over.
Great. So,
do any of you have really cool state birds? Hey, does any state have the great blue heron? Because I really like great blue herons. They are so majestic.
I feel like I would like it even more if it didn't have great in its name.
If it were just the blue heron, and then you were like, wow, that bird is so great.
Yes, because you would say that. I mean, that's obviously how it got the name, because that's a fantastic bird.
It is such a great bird.
Definitely in my top five birds.
It's like in my top three birds. It might be like my top two, really.
It's a fine bird.
Yeah.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Molly never let me talk about Twister.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm the great Matthew Hamster Burton.
Oh, that is the worst feeling. I'm sure it was a meat nugget.
Yeah, it's a meat nugget.
I love you, Alice. I'm so glad the recorder caught me saying that. I only say it like 85 times a day.
Sure.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.